From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, our newest book song, where we create a unique, one-of-a-kind song just for your book, and of course, this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo, and today my guest is a recent Firebird Book Award-winning author, Corey Fraser, and his book is titled Orion, Heavenfall. Corey has carried a universe in his heart and mind since he was 12 years old. What started as a comic book world sketched in notebooks became, decades later, the story he couldn't stop thinking about. Orion, Heavenfall is his debut novel. And before becoming an author, he spent 7 years helping launch the NASA Space Shuttle, including the final mission to the Hubble Space Telescope. He went on to direct innovation and supercomputing programs in the technology sector. And somewhere between the trajectories and the algorithms, the boy with the comic book universe grew up. But he never stopped building worlds. And we are so happy that he kept up with it. Welcome to the Authors on Fire podcast, Corey.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And thank you so much for the kind and incredibly gracious introduction.
Oh, my gosh. It's all you. It's all part of your past. So it was my pleasure to find out more about you. And I also want to congratulate you on winning the Firebird Book Award.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I appreciate being recognized. It was one of those good things to get, you know, I'm not sure if feedback is the right word, but the validation on, right, that there is some there in the book, right? You know, as an author, you're often, you know, heads down in your own head, you know, maybe you've got your beta readers and everything, but, you know, to get other people saying, hey, you know, there is some goodness here about the book is always a great feeling to have when you're in the trenches in front of your computer doing your thing. So I thank you. I'm very honored.
Oh, well, I'm pleased that you joined us and I look forward to more of your work. Now, before we get into your book, maybe I'm very fascinated. Maybe give us a little look at your world at NASA.
Yeah. So back when I was in the space shuttle program, what I did was, first I should go a little bit further backward and talk about my upbringing a bit. So my dad was in the Air Force and he would take me to see launches when I was a toddler. I actually don't remember them, but you can't see it, but in my office here, I have a poster they gave him when he left Patrick Air Force Base, full of different space shuttle, you know, patches and things like that. And one of the things he would do is take dignitaries and their families and stuff to see launches as part of his job. And he would bring me along sometimes. And so that's where I got the whole space thing in my blood. So when I got to do my childhood dream, pretty much right out of college, it was awesome. And what I did with the space shuttle program is I started off doing what we call abort region determination, but basically helping people who sit on console and mission control determine when we can or can't abort to orbit, or you know, maybe fly across the ocean to land in France or in Zaragoza, Spain, or something like that, or we can come back to the Kennedy launch site, you know, that sort of thing. And then I moved into being what we call a mission engineer or a mission integrator, where I oversaw the development of a space shuttle trajectory, or basically all the data that gets loaded on the space shuttle's general purpose computers that helps it perform a lot of its actions on launch, as well as on descent coming back down. And I was working with and coordinating teams who would do things like, you know, range safety, which is like, you know, don't drop pieces of the shuttle on places they shouldn't go. You know, the abort team who would actually do the more in-depth abort analysis, people who would work on day of launch console operations, and even post main engine cutoff, where you would insert the orbiter into orbit. So doing all of that trajectory analysis and design. So that was my childhood dream realized very early in life.
Wow. fascinating and intense. Yeah, I mean, there's no room for error in any of that.
There isn't. There isn't. One of the fortunate things I'll say about working in the space shuttle program is just that it comes with a lot of experience, a lot of know-how, and a lot of systems and structure. So, as risky as it is, there's a lot of brilliant people with a lot of know-how and a lot of learnings over decades who have come together to build operations that make sure that we do the right things right and we can catch errors as much as we can.
You said that your book was originally a comic book. Then what happened?
Oh, man, without going into a whole discussion around what it means to be an adult and decision making and life choices, but I started out as a comic book, and I actually wanted to be a comic book artist, or at least maybe have a half job of doing comic art and also doing engineering or whatever. And when I was drawing the comics, I did not realize, because when you're drawing comics and you're a kid or you're a teenager, or at least a very young teenager, you don't realize the rigor that's involved to do sequential comic book art, put out a product, every month, or even, every quarter. And so it was the consistency of drawing really good, high quality art in a sequential cinematic fashion that was a challenge. And so when I was in college and I was working on engineering, I realized I didn't have the time to do, hone the skills the way I wanted to draw like my favorite comic book artist, Jim Lee, of all time. And at the same time, work on being an engineer, but then also, pursue all the other things that you got to do in life. And then, basically, I tried to go a route where it's like, okay, well, maybe I can hire other artists to do things. And then that ran into a money issue. So I wound up shelving that. If you combine it with being an adult, getting into the workforce, putting, your, I won't say putting your dreams on the back burner per se, but, prioritizing more immediate, urgent, or even adult needs, right? And basically it kind of went on the back shelf. I continued drawing, splash pages and art, here or there. I continued writing ideas down that I would have, go in my notepad and my phone or some other note, piece of paper somewhere in a folder. But it was always in the back of my head. It was always like, hey, there's this idea, and it would keep happening. And so I was, here in my 30s now, and at this point, I had been working for what, a good 10 years, and the idea was almost completely shelved. And I started thinking, well, maybe I could just write about it. Now, I didn't do anything about that until like another 10 years almost, because getting into the pandemic era. But it was always in the back of my head as this thing, like, hey, this angry dream that's like, hey, I'm here. I was here for a reason. You used to have so much fun, with your friends talking about this, even playing tabletop RPGs set in your universe. Why aren't you doing something with me? You drew all this stuff. You spent time. I actually did draw comic book pages. I posted a few of them online on my Instagram account just for the sake of showing people some things, but it was like it's still fussing at me. So pandemic comes around, and I think we all had a lot of time to reevaluate some things in life, right? And I said, huh, I want to spend the rest of my life doing some creating. I was definitely privileged to work on a lot of things I've worked on, whether it was, supercomputer development and, other things in the tech industry and of course the space shuttle. But I was like, man, I'm not creating for myself, these days. And I said, I want to do that. That was 2020. It would still be another 3 years before I actually put, fingertips to keyboard. And I was speaking with an intern who was interning with me at the job that I had, and she was saying, yeah, I've been writing a book, and I got it was X number of thousands of words done this semester. And then that kind of snapped for me, that idea that I've had, because I had been writing little things in my notepad and my phone over the years. And I said, you know what? I like that. I can put words to Microsoft Word. And I just started writing in 2023. And in the space of 11 months, I had a 232,000 word novel based on the comic book script that I had. And now I'll tell you the book now, Orion Heaven Fall Now, is way smaller. I trimmed off a whole, separate novel in terms of word count there, but it's probably something to go into later. But yeah, that was the journey, and it hasn't left. I'll say it is still a transmedia desire to, maybe still have comics, card games, whatever, and still use some of those assets and things. But that was the journey, Pat. I know it sounds it was long-winded, but that was the journey, and it was cathartic in some ways, and in some ways I'm happy I took the path that way. In some ways I have a little bit of regrets. It's like, man, why didn't I start this sooner?
I love that story. And I don't think you can regret because it just wasn't time. If it had been time, you would have done it earlier. So everything comes when it should, I think. So maybe give us a peek into the storyline so our listeners get an idea of what the book is about.
If I was to say, give you a tagline, just to make it memorable, and then maybe we go in a little bit more detail, but you have Orion, who is Earth's Global Crisis Aversion Organization. And they were formed to protect the world, but an improbable terrorist siege by religious extremists happens, and it becomes conspiracy. The team that Orion sends in uncovers something far worse than terrorism. They uncover a secret that reaches into the stars and threatens everything that Orion was built to protect. And that even includes humanity's trust in Orion, the organization.
All
So
righty.
that's kind of the high level kind of look.
Yeah, that's great. I don't want to give away too much. We want the readers to be teased into that. So what are some of the central themes, though, that drive your narrative?
There's actually a pretty substantial trope list, where, there's vengeance arcs, one impossible night, but a ticking clock. There's a big brother, kind of dynamic, conspiracies that go all the way up to the top. If I was to give I guess like a 30-second pitch about the book and its themes, I would say imagine the X-Men, because it is very 1990s X-Men coded. So imagine the X-Men, but they work for an organization that's orbiting Earth, and then, one night everything goes wrong. So these religious extremists, they seize the most advanced research facility in the Western Hemisphere. That team comes in to stop the attack, but uncover something much bigger. But in the process of that, you've got a leader whose brother is connected to those terrorists, a second in command who thinks she should be running the team. And then you've got this youngest member of the team who's like really desperate to prove she belongs. So it's a lot of sense of worth and belonging. Pragmatism versus idealism is a big theme as well. A lot of those beats actually came from some of my own experiences, the sense of being undervalued or overlooked. And that plays into that second in command who thinks that she should be leading the team. And then the tension that exists, but it's underlying because, hey, there's this global crisis, but let's see how it plays out for the characters and their relationships and their dynamics, right?
As you're speaking, I'm thinking, okay, so this has been brewing for years, and it you had an original thought about it, and then it sat and steeped for a while, and I'm sure it morphed and changed. So as you were writing this final version of it, especially writing your characters, did they take you places that you'd never thought of? Were they in charge at all, or did you know exactly where you were going?
I thought I knew exactly where I was going, I started. Believe it or not, they took me in a lot of different directions, and some of those range from more shallow things, if you want to call it that, where or surface level is probably a better choice of words, where like how they act or how they sound, and then some of those deeper things were like I think I mentioned was like some of my own life experiences started to make its way into the characters. So to your point earlier, Pat, things had to happen in my own life for me to have some of these perspectives. I had to go through life and experience things. So, for example, the themes around loneliness, right? Seeger, Gerhard Seeger is the director of Orion, the organization, and he's an idealist. And he believes in relationships and he believes in trust. But you can imagine if he is the director of an organization like Orion, that stops the things that go bump in the night, he probably knows a lot of things that people can't know. And that is going to cause an internal conflict for him. And in that, I pulled that theme for him out of my own life, trying to balance this sense of being idealistic, bright-eyed, and then, figuring, oh, I can't do that all the time, or here's this area of pragmatism I have to exercise. Those characters were kind of pulling me in that direction. There were some interesting dynamics between the characters that I hadn't expected to come up. Like, for example, the romantic relationship between the leader of the team and the second in command and how that plays out. That took me in a direction I wasn't expecting. In order to flesh out the characters and give them a little bit more than just being, the superpower team who comes in to, kick bad guy, but, to give them more of that, they were pulling me in directions that had me highlighting things, for example, like inequities in society and how, for example, not having certain social or economic privileges or access would play into, say, how a character was motivated to come and join Orion with the intention of making a better Orion, because of the lessons that he was taught by his more activistic parents, right? So, like things like that were pulling from my own community-based community leadership life, or my other experiences were making its way into the characters. And initially, it was more like, oh, well, this is a good justification for this character to join Orion. And then it wound up being, no, now pull me forward and put more about this into this character's motivations and who they are. So, yeah, there was quite a bit of that that was happening.
Yeah, I would imagine. And also, it just sounds like there's so much here that I'm guessing that you have sequels to follow.
Absolutely. Working on the sequel now to the book, and there's actually two prequel books that already have content coming next year, and then there's actually some other concepts for prequel books as well. But there was actually two chapters worth, or sorry, two books that came from earlier chapters of this book that are now going to be their own novels, where I can do a little bit more expanding because there is so much there. From a historical standpoint, from a world-building standpoint, from a this is why Orion exists, this is the things that Orion did in the past. And in fact, there is a central event to the book known as Two Suns that is talked about a lot. And it's really a catalyst for how things wind up playing out, not only in the past, but then as chickens come home to roost. And that is now going to get its own book versus giving the reader this really quick glimpse into what happened that day. It's going to get its own book where you can dive more and see more of the human element of it and really immerse yourself in some of the things that are mentioned and talked about in the book.
Oh, I imagine you will have quite a following with this. That your readers are going to be clamoring for more. You mentioned world building. That's always fascinating to me because that's something I wouldn't even know how to tackle. How, as you're writing, do you ensure that your world building, let's say, remains accessible to readers while still maintaining its complexity?
Oh, That's a good question. Watch, I'll say this. The complexity is the easy part for me.
Okay.
It is the making sure it's accessible to the readers and that the readers care to know about this right now.
Yeah.
And in my case, it's like, hey, here's this paragraph dump on this armor that someone uses. And thankfully, I have, beta readers, and, the developmental editor who's like, hey, we don't care to know about this right
Yes.
now. Yeah. Also, fortunately, I got some good feedback to put like an appendix with a glossary, and character list and things like that. So that gave me another space where I could do a little bit more dumping. But I won't lie, Pat, it's been hard for me to say, okay, I got to cut this thing. And because I cut this thing, it creates a domino effect of cutting other things in the book, where it's like, this is actually really good flavor because in my case, I'm really building this world that is very comic booky. In a comic book, right? For example, you're going to see little things sprinkled in that, it can seem inconsequential now, but maybe 2 issues from now it comes back, right? And so I have to continue to sprinkle those things because that's one of the things I'm doing with this book is trying to create basically a comic book flair, but in a novel format. So, to give you an example of something, there's a character who becomes, we'll say cyberdized, but becomes a cyborg. And he has a backstory that mentions an organization that is responsible for not only pursuing damages, damage controlling things, but then also pursuing insurance claims. And
Ooh.
that's a nice bit of world building. Like, hey, there's this organization that pursues insurance claims and pays things out for super powered causes, right? Unfortunately, because I cut so much of that organization out of the book, I need to cut it from his backstory explanation, joke that he was making. So things like that start to domino. But to go back to your question, the giving information is easy for me. It's the reining it in. And thankfully there are people who are able to say, hey, Corey, if you want to dial that back a little bit.
Oh, I get that. I get that. That's why I was trying to put it within my own framework where I love research and going down rabbit holes, and I'd probably include so much of that that people would be skipping through my book. And that's the last thing you want them to do is skipping paragraphs and pages because it's too much. That's why I asked the question. I can't even imagine what a challenge that must be to do.
I'll say the biggest fear I probably have about this is that I have so many things in a parking lot or in a bin space. I'm scared I won't come back to those things because I like a reader does need to know them, just maybe not, right now for
Right
this
then.
that kind of stuff. But I'm like, no, but you really do need to know this because it's going to help you immerse yourself in the world more and you're going to want to know more. But I'm going to forget about it in some Word file and some folder. Deep and not come back to it.
I love this. Well, you know what? It's not for lack of ideas. How would that be? So, what do you think sets Orion Heavenfall apart from other science fantasy novels?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I will definitely go back to the comic book nature of it. Some of that is being tapered a bit. With the through editing, but I feel like Orion Heavenfall captures the nature of a comic book where the world truly feels integrated and like there's a lot more that there are characters who can just come into a scene and go out of a scene, where it's there are many themes that are happening, and in Orion Heavenfall it is very superhero-y, vivid, cinematic action, but there's a lot of character and heart, humanity, but it's also got the military sci-fi aspect, but it's also got, the political intrigue and thriller. The action is very over the top at times, probably anime video game-like. It's got a lot of different influences. I think that everyone will find something that they like. And I think because of that, it really stands out and is unique, but it's also got the sci-fi epic nature with space and with aliens. I was actually doing a joke to myself the other day where I said, does it have zombies? And I'm like, technically, ninjas, yes, aliens, yes, politics, yes, but all the characters have a very deep personal, motivation or thing. And if it's not clearly shown in this particular book, it's at least hinted at because it'll be bigger in a future book. So, I just think Orion Heaven Fall just has something for everybody. And again, it is very, comic book, action forward, but it spends a lot of time having a lot of its conflict and drama, if you want to call it that, through the character interactions themselves.
Right. You're like your own unique genre.
Honestly, that's how it's felt. And I didn't want to come out and exactly say that, but that's one of the things I think really, differentiates Orion Heaven Fall is it feels like it is its own genre of speculative science fiction. And honestly, when it came to things like comps and back when I was doing more of the query, pitching and things like that, it was really hard to express what this book is because it is so many things while being uniquely its own, again, capturing that comic book feel in a novel. So yeah, it really does feel like its own genre. And I've actually thought about like, do I try to, make that a branding thing? Where it's like, hey, sci-fi comic book superhero action or superhero sci-fi action. I don't know. But yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I think it's worth a thought. I would think on that. That's why at the Firebird Book Awards, we have the weird book genre because some books, and not weird in a bad way, it's just like, what is this mashup here where we can't even hardly define it. So it might be something to think about.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is exciting. You've got a lot going on here and your future writing projects coming up are exciting. I mean, you could take this in so many directions, and I'm happy that you're finally at a point in your life where you can do that. That's got to feel good. So I want to make sure we're not missing anything that you wanted to highlight today that we didn't bring up.
Wow. I probably have touched on it a bit, but I just want to encourage everyone out there, if you've ever had, a creative project that you started years ago, but you put aside and life got in the way, right? To go ahead and pick it back up. I started building this universe when I was 11 years old, thanks to some friends of mine who were interested in comic books and then, got me introduced to comic books. And, it took me 30 something years to finally write a novel, to finally complete something. I started, drawing comic pages. I had a script that was a comic script that, transformed into this novel, but to actually complete something, it took me 3 decades. And, the book, got National Award with the Chanticleer Cygnus Sci-Fi Award. And actually, I just received a 5-star review from Reader's Favorite, so that was great. But I say all that to say to let people know that you have a gift or you have something that's on your heart or on your mind, and to get it out there because you'll never know who's waiting for it. And it may stay in the back of your mind because you're not aware that there's someone waiting on this. And if you knew that, if you knew why, it was important that you did it, you do it. So, the only way that none of those things happen for me and that this book isn't about to come out on October 13th is if I don't do it, if I never came back around to the idea that was, pointing at me with angry eyes in the back of my head. So, I just want to encourage everybody to do that.
Thank you. That is so important. And if something is sticking with you for 30 years, there's something to it. You cannot ignore that. So, lesson learned for you, and thank you for sharing that little bit of wisdom with everyone. And I hope if people listening, they've got something gnawing at their brain for all these years to take a peek and get on it and get it out there. Important, very important. All right, my friend, how about sharing contact information, places folks can go to find out more about you and get copies of the book Orion Heavenfall?
So you can find me on Instagram and on TikTok at Orion Book Series, Orion Book Series. You can also find me on LinkedIn, X, Blue Sky, Instagram as well at Corey A. Frazier, all one word. And as far as Orion Heavenfall is concerned, you can go to CoreyAFrazier.com/writing/order, and all the links for all the different ways of getting Orion Heavenfall will be there, including a signed copy. There'll be links to pre-ordering the book, the ebook right now on Amazon, Apple Books, Kobo, and Barnes and Noble. And again, it comes out October 13th. So easiest thing to remember, CoreyAFrazier.com/writing/order. That'll take you to everything, but you can also just go to your favorite online ebook platform and it will be there.
Excellent. You were in all the places you were supposed to be, CoreyAFrazier.com. You, my friend, are impressive. So I was looking forward to our conversation. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to share with us. And I look forward to your next book. I hope you will join us at Firebird again.
Thank you so much, Pat, and I appreciate the time. And absolutely, this has been fantastic. It's highlight of my day, week actually, by far. Thank you so much.